Well, I want to add my greeting to all the campus pastors and all of you that are online. We want to welcome you. We're glad you're here. Centerville, great to see all of you that are here. So good to have you with us today. Beaver Creek, great to have you. Springboro, Northmont Classics, it's awesome. Hey, by the way, as has been announced, you know, this couple from California, which they're probably watching online right now. So by applause, would you help us welcome them as they're moving to Dayton, Ohio, all the way from California. Great to have you here with us. So before we continue in our series here today, I thought we would do something that I think is going to be really important for us as a church and just for as individuals. I'm going to invite you to stand with me one more time. I know you just sat in all of our campuses. Even if you're online, I'm going to encourage you to just stand because we're going to pray for our nation. And I'm going to ask that as you stand symbolizing the fact that you believe that God is in control, that God is sovereign, that none of this is catching him by surprise. And it tells us in the word that in the Bible that God sets kings up and he brings kings down. And so our hearts can be at peace. We can place our trust and hope in him. And I think it'd be a great opportunity for us to go. Would you pray silently as I pray for us as a church family that God would use us? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we have some responsibility that have been laid on our shoulders as followers of Jesus. To be an influence, to be light and salt in this season. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you that we can call upon your name, that you tell us in your word that if we humble ourselves, you will heal our land. And we ask, God, that you would do that. Lord, we come before you today acknowledging that you are God. We acknowledge the fact that you are in control. There are so many things that are confusing, and as we see the division, the hatred, the violence, the language, all that's taking place, Father, we ask that you would put your hand upon this nation. We pray that you would help us, that in the course of this next week, in conversation, that you would use us as peacemakers, that we would listen first and speak second. You would use us to bring peace in our workplaces and in our homes and in our neighborhoods and in this nation. Father, we pray for our local leaders, our state leaders. We pray for the transition of presidency that will happen this week. We ask God that you would guide and lead. We pray against the enemy who you tell us clearly seeks to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so we pray in Jesus' name that you would use us, the church, that by your power, Father, that you would bring peace. We ask, God, that you would help us as a nation. Lord, we want to look to you and we want to come in confession. The fact of the matter is we have removed you from so many places of our hearts and our homes and places of work. And Father, we want to make sure today that we acknowledge that we want to follow you and we want to be used by you in all of our relationships that we have. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Grab your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs. We'll be in chapter 1 again, although we're really perusing through Proverbs. If you weren't with us last week, we started a series called New Beginning. And we're doing this series not because we're turning the page on a calendar, but we're turning the page in our thoughts and in our mind and in our hearts. And it's a series where we're looking at different themes that are found in the book of Proverbs. Last week, we started in chapter 1. We landed on verse 7. I want to look at that with you again. But I think as we look at a new beginning in our lives, it's going to take wisdom. And we acknowledged that last week. And if you weren't here with us, maybe you could acknowledge that this week, that wisdom is what it's going to take for us to have new beginning in our life, no matter what that beginning looks like. And so I hope that as you and as we travel through this series, that the foundation of this whole series is really based on wisdom. And we want to talk about wisdom. Today, we want to talk about what wisdom looks like. And we want to talk about how God uses things in our lives to bring about wisdom in our lives. And so I thought I would start off just by checking to see how wise or smart we really are as a church. All right? So you get the opportunity to respond. You can talk to the person next to you. If you've got kids with you or students with you or whatever it might be, if you're by yourself, you can just holler it out. I'm going to give you four questions real quickly to see if we can test the intelligence of our church family. All right? Here we go. Let's see how it goes. Number one, how many months have 28 days? So just turn to the person next to you and see if you can figure that out. How many months have 28 days? All right? Online, you can just type it in there if you know the answer. All right, church, the answer is? All of them. Wow, this is a smart church. That's awesome. All of them have 28 days. I saw some of you go like, oh, January, February, using the knuckle thing, you know? My wife uses that every once in a while. Okay, question number two. Barry's dad has three sons, Snap, Crackle, and Blank. Turn to the person next to you and see if you know the answer to that one, or just process it if you're by yourself online. Again, you can type it in. You're thinking this through. Some of you are a little confused. I can see it, all right? And church, the answer is? Barry. Wow, you guys are really smart. It is. It's Barry's dad. Therefore, it's Snap, Crackle, and Barry. All right? We're getting really good. It gets a little harder here. All right? Question number three. What word becomes shorter when you add two letters to it? What word in our language, English language, becomes shorter when you add two letters to it? All right? Turn to the person next to you if you want. See if you can process this. Looking out, some of you are looking really dazed on this one. It's getting a little harder, isn't it? All right, church, and the answer is? Wow, there's a few smart people over in this section right over here that I heard. Shorter, that's right. Short plus ER is shorter. Okay, last one, here we go. One more question. How can you drop a raw egg onto a concrete floor without cracking it? Little harder, all right? Turn to the person next to you if you want, or you can just say, I give up if you want. How do you do that? How can you drop a raw egg onto a concrete floor without cracking it? And the answer is, church, you don't know. Okay, we passed. We failed. A concrete floor is too hard to crack. You can't crack a concrete floor with an egg. Yeah, I know, right? How many of you by raised hand got 4 out of 4? Let me see your hands. Nobody. How many of you got 3 out of 4? Let me see 3 out of 4. Some of you. How many of you 2 out of 4? Let's see. Okay, some of you 2 out of 4. How many of you got none? Okay, a couple of you. Good. All right, so we need to talk about wisdom, right? I found this on the internet. It's really interesting. They have all these questions about how you can assess your intellect. And I just let you know, I failed. So apparently I'm not very smart. But so here's the question I want to ask you today. In what area of life do you need to grow in wisdom? In what area of your life? When we talk about wisdom, we talk about the fact that wisdom has to be exercised in areas of our life. And what area is that for you right now? It might be that you're in a relationship, a marriage perhaps, and in that marriage, you need wisdom to navigate a few things that you're growing with. It might be that you're dating and you want to figure out if you should get engaged or married. It might be that you're in a situation financially that you're making some changes and you need wisdom to know what to do with that as we enter into a new year. It might be a career move. It might be a moving of a neighborhood from one place to another place, like California to Dayton. It might be all kinds of things. What area of life do you need wisdom in your life? Last week we started and we looked at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, and it says this, the fear of the Lord. And if you weren't with us last week, we saw that the word fear really means awe. That when you are in awe of who God is, what happens is God becomes bigger and life becomes smaller. When you're in awe of God, God becomes bigger and your problems become lesser. And so it says, the awe of the Lord is the beginning place of knowledge or wisdom. So it starts in a relationship with God. When you determine that God is worth worshiping and that he is the holy God that you want to give your life to, that's the beginning place. And as you enter into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and if you're not sure what that means, it means that you recognize that there's a broken relationship between you and God that can only be fixed because of what Jesus did as he came to earth as a baby, died on a cross and walked away from a grave, that you and I can have freedom from all the guilt and wrong and sin in our lives. and be in a relationship with God. And it's in that relationship with God that we begin to understand wisdom. In fact, if you forget everything else today, do not forget what I'm about to tell you right now, and that's this. Because of what Solomon says right here, that the fear or the awe of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom, we need to understand that wisdom ultimately comes from God. You see, it's not because you need to do something more to become wise. It's not that you need to get more education. It's not that you need to be smarter in answering a few questions. That's not it at all. Wisdom comes from God through the awe of God. When you recognize that God is greater than all things, that is the place in which you begin to recognize that wisdom comes from God. What's interesting is that when you read through the book of Proverbs, you begin to see that Solomon, who wrote most of the Proverbs, when we read it, what we begin to realize is that Solomon tells us that because wisdom comes from God, God chooses to use four teachers in our life. Four things that will help us to gain greater wisdom. Four things that take place in our life that will help us to become more wise so that you can have the wisdom of God in different situations and circumstances in your life. So that's what I want to do is tackle that with you and start in Proverbs chapter 1. We're actually going to get out of Proverbs chapter 1, believe it or not. But we're going to start again in Proverbs chapter 1, and then I'm going to list out for you some other Proverbs. You can write them down if you want, or you can download the outline. But I have encouraged you, and I continue to encourage you, that I think during this series, one of the best things you could do is to read one chapter in Proverbs a day for 31 days. There are 31 chapters, and if you're late to the game, don't worry. Start today or start tomorrow and just go for 31 days. And I guarantee you that you'll begin to see some things. As a matter of fact, jot this down if you're a note taker. Proverbs chapter 27 talks a lot about how we can experience teachers in life that will make us more wise. Proverbs chapter 27. But let's start today again in Proverbs chapter 1. So grab your Bibles or your devices and let's power them up. I'll read it for you again because Proverbs tells us about wisdom. 100 times the word wisdom is mentioned in the book of Proverbs. See, James tells us, the brother of Jesus, he asks a question, who among you is wise? Meaning, how many of you know that you need wisdom in your life? That's really what James is asking. I don't know about you, but my hand is raised. I need wisdom in my life, and I'm sure you do as well. That's why you're here. Psalm chapter 2 tells us that kings of this earth need wisdom. Can I get an amen? That the kings of this world need wisdom. That's why we pray. That's why we ought to pray. And we ought to continue to pray for our nation because we want our leaders to be wise. God gave wisdom to Moses and Ezra and Daniel and Esther and so many of those characters that we read in the Bible. There's a whole section actually in the Bible called wisdom literature in the Bible. It's all about wisdom. I'll give them to you. It's Job and Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, five books in the Bible that you have when you read the Old Testament, and that collection is called the wisdom literature. We find wisdom through there. That's exactly why I'm inviting you, or challenging you rather, to read one chapter a day. And when you and I have problems like COVID, and we have politics, and we have future events, and we have life, and we have relationships, and we have money, and we have kids, and we have neighbors, and we have jobs, and all these things. See, problems won't be a problem if we're not bankrupt of wisdom. See, if we're not bankrupt of wisdom, problems is not a problem for us because we can navigate them with the wisdom of God as he gives it to us in life. That's why James goes on to say in chapter 1 that if any of you lack wisdom or if you need wisdom in your life, you can ask God for it. Now, I want you to stop and think about this for a second. The God of the universe is inviting you and I to ask him for wisdom in any area of our life. And he tells us, James tells us, the brother of Jesus, that he'll give it to us abundantly without reserve, meaning you don't have to be a certain kind of person in order for God to give you wisdom. It isn't like a certain group of people are the ones that get wisdom. It's available for all of us. I don't know about you, but that's good news. That's good news as we think about wisdom today in our lives. Proverbs chapter 1, let me read it for you. The proverb of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction. Now, if you like to underline or mark your Bibles, would you underline the word instruction? Because instruction actually gives us a hint to three teachers that will teach us wisdom. Because the word instruction is a synonym of the word wisdom in the Hebrew. And I'll talk about that in 1 second with you. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, that's dealing with God, justice, that's dealing with each other, and equity, that's dealing with our stuff. It's about all there is, right? Dealing with God, dealing with others, and dealing with our stuff. It's right there. To receive instruction in wise dealing in righteousness, justice, and equality, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. Fools, on the other hand, despise wisdom and instruction. It's interesting that he uses the word instruction several times in these first seven verses. So let's take a look. There are four teachers that will teach us what wisdom is all about. Recognizing that wisdom, first of all, comes from God. All right? I'll give it to you simply, and then we'll talk about them. The first teacher is the Holy Spirit. The second teacher, as you're thinking about this in your life, the second teacher in your life is people. The third teacher, mistakes. And the fourth teacher, problems or suffering. So I've just given them to you, but let's talk about them. Let's unpack them, okay? The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit in our lives, that's one teacher that will help us. And then walking with people, mistakes that we make, and suffering that we experience in life. So let me put it this way. Number one, wisdom is making right choices when there are no clear moral rules. Now stop and think for a minute. When you read the Bible, are there clear moral rules that God gives us? Yes or no, church? Yes. But what we read in Scripture is that there's not a rule, if you will, for every aspect of life. God gives us moral rules because he knows us better than we know ourselves, and he doesn't give us rules to follow because he's trying to make life hard or bad. He wants us to understand that if we follow these rules, life will make the most sense. And so we have moral rules that we can read in Scripture about different things. But we also in Scripture see that there's lots of things that are not in Scripture. There is lots of life that's gray where we need wisdom. Are you with me, church? So wisdom is having the Holy Spirit help us to make right choices when there are no clear moral rules. You see, if you follow a moral rule because it's clear in Scripture, that's not wisdom. That's just obedience. See the difference? So if God gives us a clear moral rule in life about our sexuality or about our finances and who owns it, about different things in our lives, as God gives us these moral rules, if we follow them, that's just obedience. But when there's so many gray areas of life, things like, who should you marry? Pretty important decision, don't you think? I mean, you get that wrong and life can be pretty tough. Or what career you should take, what pathway you should take in your life. That's a pretty important thing, what job to have, whether to move from one community to another, whether you take a job or whatever it might be, or exactly what you ought to say in a situation where you get in a situation at work or you get a situation in your home and you want to have the right things to say. You want to say the right things because we all know that words are powerful. And so these things are very important for us and we need to understand that we need to make right choices. And so here's what Proverbs says in Proverbs 1, to know wisdom and instruction. Instruction is an important word. I said that to you, and I'll give you what that word is in just a little bit. See, as we're thinking about making right choices in our life, it's important that we understand that if God gave us a book with everything we need to know about life, then we probably wouldn't need God. All you'd have to do is just comply. All you have to do is read the book and look at the chapter and make sure you do it. But I think God purposefully leaves out so many things for us in order, catch this, in order that we will actually call upon him for wisdom in our life. That we'll ask him by the Holy Spirit, because the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit has been deposited inside of us, that we'll come to God and say, Lord, I need wisdom on how to deal with a situation. I need wisdom to know what to do with my finances. I need wisdom to understand how I should respond appropriately to that. I need wisdom with politics. I need wisdom with the culture. I need wisdom with everything. You see, the Holy Spirit is offering that for us. That's amazing. That one of the teachers of us having wisdom in our life is, in fact, the Holy Spirit. And it's so important for us to understand as we're thinking through this. How many of you know that you can have knowledge without wisdom? Right? I mean, if a doctor gives you a prescription and you follow that prescription, that's not wisdom, that's just knowledge. You know that the doctor says you should take this twice a day, that you should take it with food. When you drive down the road and you're looking on the side and you see signs and it has a big number and then underneath it says limit. And as you drive and you drive that number, that's not wisdom, that's knowledge. You know that that's what the number is, and if you go past that number, that's not knowledge, that may be foolishness, right, in our lives. And so there's lots of ways for us to think about this. It's really important that we understand that God has given to us the Holy Spirit. So here's the question I have for you as we think about number one here, and that's this. What choice do you need to make, or what area of your life where you could ask God for wisdom today? Wouldn't that be great to leave here today, wherever you're at, in any one of our campuses or online, to leave today waiting or hearing from God as he nudges us in a particular area? You know, I get asked all the time, you know, when you're driving down the road, and it's probably less in the wintertime, but when you drive down the road and you see people sitting on the side of the road, and they got a cardboard box that says, you know, we'll work for food, or if you could help us, or, you know, or whatever it might be, the sign is there. And I get asked all the time, what should I do in that situation? Should I give them money? Should I not give them money? I mean, what about drugs, and what about life and all that? And here's my answer. My answer is, ask God. And it's a really interesting thing, because you'd be driving along, and I've done this, where you're driving along and you come up to an intersection and you see a person, you're like, Lord, what do you want me to do here? You know, and there are times when I just hear nothing, which means that I'm not gonna do anything. There are other times where it's like, maybe you should do something and maybe you should help him. And I roll the window down and I give him something and make a comment to him like, hey, I hope that you can use this in a way that would really bless your life, or something like that. And you and I, we face these kinds of situations all the time in our life. Wisdom is making right choices when there are no clear moral rules. Number two, as we get into number two, wisdom is gained by walking with the wise. Now in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, there's a word there that Solomon uses, and the word is instruction. Now the word instruction is a synonym, as I said, to the word wisdom, and it is the word musar in the Hebrew, and it means to have an instructor that drills in you what is necessary in order to create confrontation in your life to move you to do something wise. Did you catch that? The word instruction is like a teacher who drills into you, gets his face into you in order to try to get you to do the wise thing. And there are three things that we're gonna see from the word instruction. One of them is walking with wise people, walking with the right people, being in relationship with the right people. Here's what Proverbs says, Proverbs 13, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But the companion of fools will suffer much harm. So Solomon is clearly saying the people that you're with are a pretty good indication of who you are, that if you walk with wise people, then you're gonna be a person that has wisdom. But if you hang out with fools or people that aren't helping you, then you're gonna suffer harm in your life. And we kinda know this a little bit. I mean, we joke a little bit about it. I mean, the reality is, you know, people will often say the longer that you're married, the more you begin to look like each other. Have you ever heard that before? that as you see couples as they age, you know, and they've been married for 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 years, it's quite beautiful actually to see that. But it's also very interesting that when you see them together, that they actually begin to look like each other. In fact, there's studies that are done about whether it really is something that takes place naturally or is it something that we just do on our own, and there's lots of debate on that. But let me show you a couple pictures. It's pretty interesting. Here's an old couple. I don't know, what do you think? They're kind of beginning to look like each other, right? It's absolutely amazing. Well, then you get a little bit younger. Here's a Hollywood actor, Benedict is his name, and there's his wife. They look like each other, don't they? I mean, when you look at their faces, you know, the interesting thing is the studies even say that some people begin to look like their pets. So I even brought up a few pictures about that. Here's a guy who looks just like his dog. This is an actual picture, actually. Unbelievable. Here's one. There's a lady and her dog. They look just alike. It's unbelievable, right? I mean, isn't Solomon right? The people we hang out with is how we look, right? And so if you walk with the wise, and so this is really important, church, we get this. Wisdom is gained by walking with the wise. Now, Solomon lays out, and I'm going to give it to you here. He lays out for us the kind of people that we should walk with. Let me give it to you. He mentions four things throughout the book of Proverbs of people that we should walk with. Number one, we should walk with people who have a passion for God. Because if they have a passion for God, chances are you might have a passion for God. Would you agree that if you walk with somebody who's cynical about God, chances are you might become cynical about God? Would it be true that if you walk with somebody who's apathetic spiritually, would it be true to say that chances are, likelihood of the chances are that you're going to be apathetic in your spiritual life? If you walk with somebody who's angry or enraged or constantly upset about things in life, chances are you might become a person that's enraged or angry. If you follow or hang out with people who are focused on money, that's their focus, that's your chief aim in life, chances are your outlook will be that your life is going to be focused on money. If you hang out with negative people, chances are you're going to be, help me out here, church, negative. I grew up and my parents said this: if your friends jump off a cliff, are you going to jump off a cliff? Anybody's parents ever say that to them, or am I the only one? Whew, thank you. Or you hear things like, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It's really true, isn't it? It's really true, and the opposite is also true. That's why in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs tells us that you should walk with people who are passionate about God. Now, I understand, and I probably need to pause here for a second and tell you very clearly, that doesn't mean that you don't walk with people who are not followers of God. It's all percentage. Am I right, church? It's percentage. See, if the percentage is higher that you're walking with the wrong people, it's going to impact your life. But we need to be people who are in relationship with those who do not know Jesus Christ. However, if you're going to be a wise person, you need to walk with people who have a passion for God. Secondly, you need to walk with people who are peaceful. That's really interesting. And you can read it several times in Proverbs chapter 22. Solomon says, don't make friends with an angry person, and don't be a companion of a hot-headed, tempered one. James says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense. See, I think this makes a lot more sense, given everything that we're seeing all around us. That we ought to walk with peaceful people. Number three, we ought to be walking with people who help you to become who you need to become. In fact, the way that Solomon puts it in Proverbs is that he says we should walk with people who are not afraid to be honest with us. He says wounds in Proverbs 27, wounds from a friend heal much quickly, much more quickly. Because if they're really a friend and they say something to you as an instructor in your face to help you to do the wise thing, they're doing so because they love you and care about you. If you have people in your life that will just tell you everything you need to hear or want to hear, that's not going to make us wise. Would you agree, church? And so Solomon's very clear in Proverbs 27. He also says in Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Proverbs 27:5, better is an open rebuke than hidden love. People who will be honest with you. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. Now, unfortunately, men have stolen this verse. And we men, we use this, and it's because it's a, you know, it's a verse about iron and, you know, swords and fighting and all that kind of thing. And but this is for everybody. This is for females and males. This is about us coming together and making us better. The idea that Solomon has in chapter 27 is that as you are hanging out, walking with people who will be honest with you as an instructor in your face, it'll help us in wisdom. Years ago, I had a friend, his name is Brent, and he's still a good friend, but we lived with each other, near each other. This is overseas, actually. And he really became one of my best friends in life. He was a guy that understood me so well that we could almost finish each other's sentence. Anybody have a friend like that? You know, where you could almost just finish each other's sentence. And we were only together for a number of years. And in those number of years, we became such close friends. I had coffee with him every single day. We named our fourth son after him. I still, to this day, even though I don't see him, we talk on the phone every once in a while. I love the guy. It's like wherever we are in our relationship, we just hit play. And when I leave, we hit pause. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? Brent was such an amazing guy. I remember 20 years ago when we were living overseas, that as we were having lunch, he would say to me this statement all the time. He would say, you know, you're so fortunate that God brought Kathy into your life. And I go, yeah, I know that. And then I would say to him, and Brent, you're so fortunate that God brought June, his wife's name, June into your life. And he goes, yeah, I know that. But he would say it over and over again until finally one day we were having coffee and I said, Brent, you've said that many times. What do you actually mean by that? Like, what are you saying something here? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, you're so fortunate to have Kathy in your life. And here's the reason why, Brent says, because she's not impressed with you. Wow. We need people who are not impressed with us. We need people who will be honest and who will love us enough to give us the truth, gently, lovingly, but to give us the truth. Solomon says that we ought to be walking with the wise, meaning we walk with people who will help us become who we want to become. I'm here to tell you that almost 35 years of marriage with Kathy, that I wouldn't be the man I am today. I wouldn't be the pastor that I am of this church without her in my life. God has brought her into my life and has done so much. I'm grateful for that. I want these kinds of relationships, and I'm sure you do too. Well, there's one more that Solomon mentions, and he says that you should walk with people who are pleasurable to walk with. I love that. He says this in Proverbs chapter 27. He says, oil and perfume makes the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Solomon is saying, you should have people in your life because you need to walk with the wise. You should have people in your life who will be honest with you. You should have people who are peaceful. You should have people who have a passion for God. You should have people who are not impressed with you. You should have people that you enjoy being with. That's amazing. That's where wisdom comes in our life. It's one of the teachers of wisdom in our lives. Wisdom comes from God, and God uses people to teach us what wisdom is. Here's number three. Wisdom is learning from one's mistakes. Mistakes can be a teacher to us in life if we're willing to look at the mistakes and understand in our lives. Proverbs chapter 26, it's a pretty interesting verse that some people don't even think that's in the Bible. It's actually a verse that's in the Bible. You probably have heard this before. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Wow, really? Like a dog that returns, if you got a dog, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? A dog that returns to his vomit, and you're like, oh boy, there went lunch, right? And so as we're thinking about this, what Solomon is saying is that we need to learn from one's mistakes. A couple of weeks ago, the day before New Year's, my wife and I were paying a bill, and as we were paying a bill, it's interesting how when you use online bill paying, you have to be very careful because sometimes they want you to use the decimal and sometimes you don't need to. And you have to be careful, right? So sometimes you type in a number and then a 00.00. And sometimes you just type in the zeros. Well, we made a mistake and we paid a bill that we normally pay every month and we sent them $20,000, which we didn't have. They shut our bank accounts down. I mean, it was, you know, of course, then it was the next day was New Year's Day. And here we are like, what do we do? I mean, the bank accounts are frozen. Everything's frozen. We actually even borrowed money from our kids. True story. So we had to wait because then the next day was a Saturday and then Sunday, banks aren't open. Monday is the first day of business and it took a couple of days. We got it all sorted out. Trust me, we got it all sorted out and we paid our kids back. Don't worry, we paid them all back. But it was a big mess. Interestingly enough, the company that we sent the bill to, $20,000, they sent the whole money back because it was a mistake. We got, you know, even though it wasn't even in the count anyway, so I don't know how that all worked out. But and then they gave us a late payment because we didn't pay them. It's like, we paid you $20,000. What do you want? That was a big mistake on our part. You know, I find that mistakes come in three different flavors. Mistakes come sometimes unintentionally. Have you noticed that? We're just unintentional. Maybe we're a little careless and we make a mistake and we can learn from it. Trust me, we're gonna slow down on figuring out the number of zeros after the number. We have unintentional mistakes that we make. The second kind is when we ignore things, when we ignore wisdom, we ignore signs, when we ignore people around us, and we're gonna make mistakes. We just ignore. We don't care, in a sense, we just ignore. And the third one is just foolishness, just flat out foolishness. It's just foolishness. I think that when I look at my life, I see mistakes in one of those three flavors. And it's interesting to me because when you think of mistakes, what Proverbs is essentially saying, if you boil it all down, watch this. Proverbs is saying that we should fall forward. Meaning that we should learn from our mistakes and move to the future with wisdom. That we get to fall forward. See, failure is not making mistakes. Failure is when you make the same mistake over and over and over again. We can fall forward. I think that's what Solomon is saying in Proverbs, that we can fall forward and we can make sure that the mistakes in our lives will teach us something, but it takes self-examination, that you and I have to be willing to examine ourselves because wisdom comes as we learn from our mistakes. But there's one more teacher that Solomon refers to, and that's this, that wisdom is suffering that God allows. Proverbs chapter 3, which will be in next week. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. Hebrews chapter 12 says that God allows pain and suffering because he's either disciplining us or he's creating holiness within us, like to become like him, or because he's bringing wisdom in our lives. Hebrews chapter 12. And so we can see that suffering that comes into our life that God allows can be a teacher of wisdom. Can I just state right up front? I don't like this. I don't like this. And yet somehow in God's sovereignty. And so what we need to do as we're thinking about suffering is we have to start from the bottom. We have to start from the floor. Can we do that? Let's just start with good theology. Let's start here. That on the bottom, we have to agree that God is sovereign. Are you with me, church? When you look at suffering, you have to start there. God is sovereign. And then you build on top of that and you say, we can trust him. We can trust him. He knows our future. And then we can build on top of that, that he is good. And his goodness runs in our lives. That he wants things to be good in our lives, even though things that are happening may not be good, he can make good. God is sovereign. We can trust him, and he's good. Simple things, but you have to build a foundation because here's what I've discovered in my life, and maybe you as well, that when you experience intense suffering of some kind, and maybe COVID has done that for you, maybe a loss of a job, maybe a relationship, I don't know what that is, but when intense suffering comes into your life, there's a strong temptation to deny the goodness of God or his sovereignty. And we can be different. Do you know why? Because wisdom comes from God, and suffering can be a great instructor in our lives. So you know that suffering actually has a purpose? I don't like it, but it does. It has a purpose in our lives. And paradoxical, as we affirm God in the middle of trouble, we can acknowledge that he's sovereign, that we can trust him, and that he is good. Because the temptation is going to be to pull all that away and to ask questions like, why, God? Which just doesn't really get us anywhere at all. So you see, suffering is very, very powerful. It's no wonder that James says, rejoice when you experience trials of all kind. And you want to fight back and go, come on, James. That's just like a spiritual, cynical line, right? Oh no, it's true. Because you and I can have joy and sorrow like a train track. We talked about that at Christmas time, actually. We talked about how those two can run together and we can find wisdom. So let me ask the question one more time, and that's this. In what area of life do you need to grow in wisdom? Because the teachers are the Holy Spirit, people, mistakes, and suffering. Would you bow with me in all of our campuses online? Just right now, just separate yourself from everybody else. And why don't you pray a simple prayer that goes something like this. God, I need wisdom in blank. I need your wisdom in this area of my life, because he'll answer. Would you pray that prayer silently and quietly? Father, thank you. Who knew that there are so many teachers of wisdom in our life? Lord, we knew that wisdom comes from you. Sometimes we don't understand how that works. And yet, Lord, as this is laid out for us in Proverbs, it makes so much sense. Help us to lean into the Holy Spirit as he nudges us to make the right choices. Father, help us to put the right people in our life. Help us to learn from our mistakes and suffering. I pray, Lord, that all these prayers that have been heard all over the world today, Lord, as we have invited and asked you for wisdom in areas of our life, we thank you that you give us a promise, and that promise is that you will give it. And so we leave here with great courage and joy, knowing that that's the case. So we thank you, Father. Again, Lord, we pray for our nation. We ask, God, that you would use us. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said, amen.